Good morning, everyone. Welcome to service today at Sandusky First United Methodist Church. We're so thankful for everyone here today and the day the Lord has made for us. Bobby, before we continue up, I know you got a little bit of a long road, so we'll have you come up for this. Do we have anyone who has any prayer requests or moments of joy this week? We have our guys in the corner with the microphones if you have anything you'd like to share with us. But before you put your hands up, Bobby, you had a special opportunity for us coming up.
Opportunity as a congregation to go down to the Free Store and in Port Huron to help them set up their merchandise and that sort of thing. This is for guys and gals. Please see me afterwards so I can kind of coordinate this whole thing. And I think it would be a really worthwhile thing for all of us to participate in something like this. Everything that comes into the store through donation from various churches and individuals is given for free to their community. So just come and see me after church, okay? Thanks.
And Bobby, just to kind of fill in some of the blanks that people don't know, just in case, it's on Lapeer Street, right? The Ministry Center and Free Store, and it's across from Baker College there, kind of by the Aunt Millie's Bread thing right there, so then that area. Mm-hmm. And then the reason why you're trying to get a head count is because the volunteers there will have more of an idea of how we can serve best if they know how many to expect, right? So you'll be here after service to talk about how we can might be able to serve and those kind of things?
Yeah, and I believe they're open from like 10 until 2:30, but that does not mean that we have to be there the whole time. I just need to call and give the gentleman sort of a head count and where he can use you and how many guys, how many gals.
Sure.
Because they get furniture and everything donated to the Free Store. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Bobby, she makes her way back again, just one of those opportunities. I'm very familiar with the ministry there. But to understand, how many times do we need an excuse to go to Port Huron? I know we usually split between Saginaw and Port Huron for getting our stuff, so maybe on the way getting our stuff, we could do a little service there, and it would already give us an excuse to be there. So think about that. Anyone else got a prayer request or a moment of joy to share with us this week?
I have one. This is for my wife, Lynn. She is going in for knee surgery tomorrow morning.
Okay. Tomorrow for Lynn, okay. Yes. Anyone else?
I'm asking for continued prayers for Ryan Pringle and the Pringle family. He was transferred down to Ford's Hospital.
Right. Anyone else?
In case you were wondering, we were gone the month of July down to South Carolina to welcome in two new great-grandbabies.
Hey! You see, both of them, when they came back last week, they shook your one hand and they just carried their hands like this because they were so used to carrying the kids. Do we have one over here?
Yeah. Right. Yes, prayers for my sister Marlene, who is dealing with some health issues.
Marlene, you said? Thank you. Anyone else? Is there someone here from the softball team that has some sort of joy they'd like to share this week? Do we have anybody? Miss the pitcher, the greatest pitcher in the county. Mark, could you give us a few words about... and our catcher, the other half of the Wonder Team that they had there, and their kids were running the bases after. That was good. Danny?
There's more than that. Maybe they need to stand up.
Got Roadrunner over here, there's Speedy Gonzalez, and we got the ladies here that were representing the female wing of the team that were doing great. A lot of RBIs in this section. Was anybody here for the... Let's stand up if you're here from the softball team. It'll be a lot easier. Can we just have you stand up, Ryan? Go ahead and stand up there. And,
come on.
All right, there we go. Can we just... Yeah, there we go. And Mark, could you tell us why we were standing up just now?
Thursday was our last game. And we won the tournament. We had already won the league.
All right, the championship, right? So please welcome everyone after the service there. Yeah.
And thanks, everyone, for coming. And, boy, it was a lot of fun.
All right.
Carrie Downing was, like, super
fan. Yeah, she was the super fan.
And there is a picture of the team over there if you guys want to see it later.
Signed picture. We might have a an autograph session somewhere coming up at service, so stay tuned for those things. Oh, it was a great opportunity for us to gather together as a church and celebrate. Anyone else have a moment of joy or a prayer request this week? Gayla? Oh, Mr. Right in front of you. Right in front. Warmer? There you go.
I just want, I have a joy. I have my brother and sister-in-law from Chicago, actually from Wheaton, but Chicago, and they've been here for a week.
All right. Thank you for coming and being part of worship this morning today. Anyone else? Okay, do we have any announcements that we need to have?
Well, I have one. Next Sunday, the Methodist men will be at the Big Boy for breakfast at 8 o'clock. So any men want a good breakfast, why, come along.
So bring your appetites and appetites.
Yes.
Bring your appetites and be ready for some conversation. Excellent.
I just want to remind people that for everybody here that we are having a discipleship gathering Tuesday at 6. There will be pizza and I think homemade cookies from Karen, so they're going to be wonderful. And it's for everybody, just a chance to look at how we can do more outreach and become better disciples.
All right. Do our best work with some food in front of us at a table, so we do a good job there.
Yes, I do. We do have a brief trustee meeting after church this morning.
Okay, so if you're on the trustees, and stay briefly in the nursery is where we're
It's going to be a real brief one.
Okay. Anyone else? What about any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? Any birthdays? I see a finger point. Hey, Barb. Hey, are you doing that this week? Are you celebrating a birthday this week? What day are you celebrating? The 17th. Fantastic. Well, anyone joining Barb this week for birthday? Well, this song will be just for you then. Happy birthday to you. See that hand. Connie, it's the 20th. Is that going to be next week? We'll do it then. We'll be ready for next week. Can I tell you what's really neat is from my perspective, I can always see the hands that go up and kind of the smiles for guess who I'm going to tell that they got something going on. And it's just one of those moments where I kind of giggle, but you know what? It's such a joy for our family to be able to point that out because they're not only happy, they're very proud that we get to have some more time together today. So happy birthday this week. Do we have any anniversaries other than Deb and Rick Tank, whose 40th anniversary is being celebrated by the flowers that are on the altar? Do we have, what day is your 40th anniversary? Today! Oh my goodness, well I tell you, there you go. Happy anniversary. Do we have anybody doing fellowship time today? There's some coffee creamer out there if you'd like to grab a little bit and... I hear they have a wonderful buffet uptown, so you don't have to cook or anything. You can just go. Does anybody else have an anniversary? The Campbells have an anniversary. What day is your anniversary? It was last two. Well, 15. So we got 15. Okay. So 35. Okay. Well, that's easy to remember. That's how old I am. So we can do that. All right. 35 years last Tuesday. 25. Well, you said 15. Did I do the math wrong, or was it? Okay. Anybody? Is there anybody else sharing the anniversary row that's over here? Do we have any other anniversaries? Let's sing together. All right. So wonderful. Again, the flowers on the altar are in celebration of the Tank's anniversary today. Without any further ado, let's go ahead and start our service today. So if you're able, would you please stand if you can, and we'll sing together Wonderful Words of Life as we think about the expounding of Scripture, how it leads and guides and informs our life. Number 600, Wonderful Words of Life.
Thank you.
Please stay standing if you're able, and we'll ask for the Lord's blessing on our gathering and service together today. Almighty God, for this day would you allow our hearts to see with joy the blessing it is that we are able to gather here today, Lord, in body, mind, and spirit. And Lord, as we're giving you thanks and praise for this day, we come here expectant that you will have the Holy Spirit continue to be at work in our lives to empower us, to give us a peace, a hope, and a strength in which to live by and to honor your call on our lives. To not only take and celebrate and worship today, Lord, and give you the glory, but to go away expecting you to work in our lives and to open up opportunities that we may be the hands and feet of your Son, Jesus, in this world. Lord, for this purpose, bless this time gathered together today and be honored by all that you see and hear today. In Christ's powerful, matchless name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we find our seats, let's sing together. Number 133, when we go through those times of difficulty and trial, we can expect the arms that are everlasting to lean on them and to rely on them. Number 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Amen. What a great thing we're able to sing that out and know that that's true, and to be able to lean wherever, no matter what is going on in our lives, in the faithful and always true Lord. At this time, we're going to have our children's time come up, so I'll ask for our children to come up if you have a young one with you. If you haven't been with us in a while, or maybe your first time, if you come on up, we have a special opportunity today, right? Because Miss Erin's going to be with a different Miss Erin. Her last name's Campbell, is going to be with us today to tell us a little bit about children's time today. She has a special offering for us. So do you have a microphone? You do now. Hey, how about that? So is it okay if I sit up here next to you? So one of the kids here. All right. Well, I'm going to shut this off, so if I laugh at something you might say, it doesn't drown you out, okay? So.
All right. Hi, guys. This will be a little bit shorter because I have pictures to show you later, okay? So you're going to stick around instead of going to junior church, all right? But I just wanted to bring this back for you guys to see. It's from Ecuador. And this, I don't know if you can see it, is a tiny little manger with baby Jesus inside. Can you see it? And I just love this because I think one of my favorite parts about being there was just meeting brothers and sisters in Christ from all over the world and seeing little kids and people my age and grown adults just worshiping the Lord in their own language and just in a whole different country. So I just brought this as a little reminder that we're not alone in this world, and there's so many of us out there who love Jesus. And, yeah, we just have a big old family that's just waiting to meet us. So Yeah, you guys can look at this if you want, but that's about it. And then I'll pray for us, and if you guys want to stick around, I'll have pictures to show you later, okay? All right, let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so, so much for just your children, God, the really little ones and then the older ones, Lord, on this earth. I thank you that you've just filled us all with so much love and joy in your son's name that we can just be together and worship, and God, that someday we'll all be together in heaven worshiping just in our own language and from our own country, Lord. Thank you for that sweet truth, and thank you for our family here and our family all over the world. It's in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Aaron. Well, how about we go back and sit where we came from? Is that okay? So do you remember the path where you came from to go ahead and sit down? Is that okay? All right. And so we'll have pictures later, you said, right? So,
yeah.
And those pictures, are they just for the kids, or is everybody welcome to? Okay. All right. One of the things before we get to that time of sharing, we have another wonderful time of sharing. Again, for those of you who haven't been with us in a while, or maybe it's your first time here, or maybe you're visiting, this is something that we've been able to celebrate since the beginning of this year. And one of the things that I know I look forward to the most, and I hope you do too, with worship gathering together today, is that we have been sharing our stories. We have this opportunity to share parts of our faith that don't always necessarily always come up in everyday conversation, but they're worth sharing. And so they become our stories, not just an illustration like in a book, like a Chicken Soup for the Soul. Not that those aren't okay, but it's different when you know the person, isn't it? And when you hear about the victory of Christ in their life. And so we've been able to celebrate that and hear from our own stories. And this week, we're going to hear from Oren Campbell. So if you want to come on up and share with us your story this morning.
Good morning. It's a tough act to follow over there, but I'm going to try. I'm going to keep this brief. Basically, I summarized my story as a journey with Christ and where it began, where I could start it from, and that started in 1966. I know, do the math. I look younger than I really am, you know, but it was with the baptism that at the Peace Lutheran Church that began my journey with Christ. And I wasn't aware of it at the time, but the Lord Jesus touched me at that point in my, you know, in confirming that I was going to be in his family. And I thank my family, my mother and father, for doing that for me. Fast forward a little bit to 1971. I was about 5 years old. That's when I can really go back and start to think and remember what church was about. And it's always interesting because I remember church at that time as, God bless her soul, my mom trying to get myself, my other two brothers, and my sister ready in our Sunday best, get us fed, and get us off to church. And church then started at early service. So we would go to early service around 9 o'clock. And all I remember is getting in the car, driving into town, seeing my grandfather there, who was a devout Christian. He was always there at church. He was our mentor. And my mother and father and us kids. And I remember just approaching the church doors and thinking to myself, what is this place? You know, it's huge, you know. And this pastor wears this robe and, you know, all the things that go along with it. So that was my first real memory of church. And by the way, I was the little kid turned around backwards in a pew, coloring and doing things then. So back then, I can recall I was going to be an architect back then. So mom was always saying, shh, quiet now, quiet, you know. So fast forward to 1979. I was about 13 years old. That's when it really started to take a play in my a role in my life when we started our Bible studies in church. And Pastor Beringer was, he headed that up. And I remember he was an awesome pastor. And he got us into the Bible, in the passages, and we learned what the importance of understanding these passages and how they relate to our lives. And I remember we had a big class then, And it was a positive experience in my life. And I remember that to this day. And that's where I really learned what the Bible was about. And when I really started to crack it open and learn more about what God wants in our lives. With that, bear with me. I have technology here. I'm going to pull something up. One of the passages that struck me on this that I always go back to is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that kind of stuck with me back then, because you start to experience things in your life, like family members that might pass on, or things like that, and you wonder, wow, is there an eternal life? Is it really, truly there? And through that, my mother taught me a lot of things about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the importance of having him in my life. And I experienced that with her when she passed on, that ease and that calmness about life here, and that we're just here for a brief moment, but real life is after that, after we pass on. And so that always stuck with me. Back in 85 to about 1990, in that range, those were my years of kind of just building my future through work, going to college, doing things, putting church on the back burner. And it was funny to me, I think about that. The church I attended at the time, they would send cassette tapes, and they would mail them to me at church. And every weekend, I would put the cassette tape in and sit in my dorm and listen to the service. And it was kind of a warm thing, because I understood, and I was almost like I was there in that service, in a part of that service in that church family at the time. So it was kind of corny, but yet it kept me going with the church family, and even though I wasn't there. So yeah, that helped me through that phase of my life. And then fast forward a little bit more in 1992, 25 years ago, I married my best friend, Julie, and Pastor Mike Pringle was here, and it was right here at this altar at this church that we got married. And it just felt so natural, because we came into this church and people welcomed us with open arms. The pastor was great. Everything was awesome. We didn't know it, but we were becoming a church family. The people, and you know, we grown to know and develop relationships with to this day is still awesome. Then we go to 1997. That was like, wow, life hit us. It was great. We had experienced our firstborn, Aaron and Allison, and we didn't know that, you know, they came in twos, but we just figured it out. And I have to say, it was with our church family that that it made us feel at ease. You know, it was kind of this organized chaos. And I remember walking in here and thinking on a Sunday, oh man, can we get through this without the kids screaming or disrupting something? So we used to sit in the back pew over there, two car seats, and it was a great Sunday if they didn't, like, go crazy. So, but, you know, it was all good. It was all good. They turned out wonderful, as you see. And then there was a few years later in 2000 when Ryan was born, we knew we completed our family. And the best thing about all this was, we had our church family here. We had our beliefs and what we were doing. And back to when I was going to college, I was learning a trade to move on, but that's only for a brief time. Through all of this, the thread was what, tying in to everything was church and my belief in God. And that was more important than what we put on, you know, Earth's things, you know, earthly things. So beyond that, it was church that was always the steadfast thing that was here It was always available. It was there for us to guide us. With that said, I look at this journey and I look at Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Even though the narrow gate, for the wide gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many, even though it, I'm sorry. Okay, let me start that over again. I have this affliction with my eyes here, I can't say. Even though the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. And that's where I think about my path through life of going to college and doing things and not trying to keep my feet on the ground, but at the same time, there's a lot of temptations out there. And then it goes on to say, yeah, it closed out on me. It goes on to summarize that, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And that was an important part to me, is finding myself in this church and knowing that God does love us no matter what, and that as long as we stay in that narrow path and follow his light, we're going to be fine. We're going to have eternal life. So that's kind of my story in summary, in importance of Christ in my life. So thank you.
I always feel like when we hear those words, my story, we want to put in so far, right? As we continue to tell our story, and thank you for sharing that. Bill, you have special music for us? Bill Clark here today? We don't. Well, all right. Well, we will move on to another member of the Campbell family. Aaron, would you come back up? You said you had some pictures for us, and I think you're going to share a little bit about your trip with us today. So I'm going to get into a better spot so I can see, okay?
Hi, guys. Sorry, there's a whole lot of Campbell happening today, so bear with us. So, yeah, as most of you know, I recently got back from a month-long mission trip to Ecuador. So today I'm just going to share a little bit about my trip with pictures that go with it. But yeah, first I wanted to say thank you again so much for just all of your love and support. God used your prayers and financial support to bring countless students to Christ in Ecuador and to start new movements on four different college campuses in Guayaquil, and did a whole lot of stuff in my heart as well. So yeah, let's begin. And to start, I want to introduce you to my team. My team was made up of 25 girls and 7 guys. I don't know where the girl's picture is, but it should be there. I don't know. It's fine. That's girls in that top picture if it's not there. And that was taken at our 4th of July party. And so, yeah, the girl-to-guy ratio was a lot. The guys were very patient with us. Imagine 25 girls and 7 guys living together in tight-knit quarters. So they were super patient, and that was great. And just my whole team in general from the U.S. and the friends that we met in Ecuador was so special. I've never had experienced community like that before. So yeah, I hope I can go back and see them someday because it was great. The next picture on the left is a picture of Cynthia. When Cynthia was in college, she ran into a group of American students who were sharing the gospel on summer mission like we were. So they shared the gospel with her and she accepted Christ. And now a few years later, she's on staff with Crew in Ecuador, sharing the gospel on campuses with students herself. So that was just super powerful to be a part of her story, and knowing that it was people like us that went there and started that for her. So next, this is my campus team. Because we had over 30 students on our mission, we were able to split up onto 4 different college campuses in Guayaquil, which is a lot and was great. So unlike a lot of the other summer missions where students are going to college campuses where there is already a movement to try and help them grow that movement, we were kind of pioneering our own way on our campuses because movements didn't exist there. So yeah, that's my campus team, and our campus was called Salesiana. It had a long name too, but just Salesiana. And then this is a picture of my friend Courtney using our picture survey, which is called Solarium, to share the gospel with students on campus. So since most of the students could only speak Spanish, that was interesting and challenging. and only a few of us knew Spanish. So we would use a picture survey that would ask students questions like, what pictures describe your present, your past, and your desires for the future? And then pick one picture that describes God to you. And so after going through those pictures, the pictures really helped a lot. Pictures are worth 1,000 words, right? And so when you don't really know the language, those 1,000 words come in handy. And so we would go through and we would learn about their lives and their story. And then we would use the pictures to share our own story. And then through that, share the gospel and what Christ had done in our lives. So that's how we led into the gospel on campus. And so next, there's a picture on the right is my friends Natalie and Cynthia. So Cynthia, popular name, this is a different one, but she was a student that we were able to share the gospel with. She was already a believer, but she was just so encouraged to be able to meet other students and talk about her faith with, because that was not a popular thing. Isn't a popular thing on many college campuses, but especially there. She was Catholic, and she told us she was just tired of people viewing everything as rules and things that you had to do. And just really wanted people to know that you could have a personal relationship with God. And we were like, yay, us too, that's what we're here for. So it was really cool to meet her and encourage her in that way. And then the picture on the left is of the other Cynthia with 3 of the 4 student leaders at Salesiana. So when we left Guayaquil, we kind of handed the baton off to these 3 girls. And they are amazing women of God, and I'm just so confident that they're just going to continue to bring God glory on that campus. So it wasn't hard leaving, like, oh no, it's going to fall apart. It was really cool to just say, this is yours now, and run with it. So then, yeah, this is a picture of a meeting. On our second to last day at Salesiana, we held the first crew meeting for students there who were interested in getting involved. And so we were praying that God would send us 25 students who were interested. 22 students showed up to the meeting, and then the next day on campus, 3 more girls accepted Christ. So in total, over 10 students came to Christ in the short month that we were at Salesiana, and that was absolutely amazing to be a part of. Last summer I was in Chicago, and there were 100 of us, and we were all speaking the same language, and we were there for 10 weeks. And just because of the way that the culture is different, I think like 12 people came to Christ in that whole summer. And this was 6 of us on one campus trying to manage our way through sharing the gospel in Spanish, and the Lord just moved. And so that was so cool to be a part of there. So on top of sharing the gospel during the week, every Monday we had a service day. So our first service day started at an elementary school in a community called Monte Sinai, or Mount Sinai, and no, we did not receive the 10 Commandments when we were there. That would have been really cool. For the first half of the day, we played with the children and helped teach them English by singing songs like Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. And then a little bit of soccer was played. They're all absolutely incredible at some soccer. It's just in their blood. And yeah, they were just so filled with joy, all those little kids. So after lunch, a pastor in the community named Danny gave us a tour of her church, which was called Un Lugar de Esperanza, or A Place of Hope. So this was the youth area of the church. The church provides meals to children in the community every Wednesday, and it's also working on building homes for especially needy families in the community. So next, we asked Danny if we could walk around and just pray over the families in that community. There was a darkness in that community that's kind of hard to explain. So as we walked, Danny would tell us stories about the families that lived on Mount Sinai, and explained all the different ways that the church was trying to help. She only spoke Spanish, so some of my teammates and I would translate for the rest of our group. The first house that we went to wasn't much of a house at all. The floors were made of dirt, and the walls were made of sheets and some scrap metal. A mother, father, and their 10 children lived there. Around the corner from their house was a new house that Danny's church was building them. Made entirely out of cement block, this house, though really small, was such a blessing for that family. As we walked up to the last house that day, the woman inside, named Rosario, informed Danny that she had just heard back from her doctor that day, and she had been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. She invited us into her home, and we laid hands on her and prayed for her, for healing for her. And yeah, that was a very, very powerful prayer. On the bus ride home, which was an hour long, none of us said anything. I think we were all just praying to God and just, yeah, processing what had happened. Our next service day, we drove to a rural area outside of Guayaquil to serve a brand new church there. This church was recently given to a pastor who had been sharing the gospel in the surrounding communities for some time. Upon receiving the church, the pastor knew he had a lot of work to do if he was going to hold a service in the empty concrete block building. He prayed that God would give him able hands and feet to help. Then we showed up, so God's timing was pretty impeccable in that. After a full day of sweeping, painting, and laying rocks for a volleyball net and parking lot, the pastor prayed over us and our time there. He was so encouraged that God was using young people like my team to do kingdom building work even halfway across the world. To conclude, I want to leave you with a verse that I feel sums up my time in Ecuador pretty well. So it says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Matthew 19:29. Though my team and I left our families and our homes to go to Ecuador and share the gospel, the Lord didn't leave us empty-handed at all. Rather, he multiplied our blessings. Now my team and I have a home in Guayaquil and a family of loving Ecuadorians bigger than we can even count. So thank you guys all so much for the chance to go.
All right. That's a great opportunity. And can we see in the midst of that, before we move on any further, that can we see in those moments that there was a thank you there before the sharing was there, that wherever Erin is years down the road and she's sharing that journey as her dad did today, we're going to be part of that story. We're going to be part of those impacting moments. We're always going to be her home sending church that allows her to be able to use her gifts and experience God's work in her life. It's just such an interesting thing, friends. Can we continue just to take that and understand that what we are called to do, who we are called to support and invest in, God's using that, using it in powerful ways. Did you hear the pauses there? The trying to figure out words to describe the awesomeness and the vastness of what God was doing in Erin's life and her campus ministry and amongst all those she was interacting with. Because there aren't words to describe exactly what was going on. It was that big. It was that much more powerful. Thank you again for being the church and allowing our prayers and our resources to go beyond just our zip code, because there is a world that is broken. There is a world that is hurting. And we have the good news that can help share life. Can we have this opportunity to bring ourselves into a moment of prayer, and we'll sing 2108, "Oh How He Loves You and Me," 2108, and then we'll enter into a time of prayer together after that song. 2108, "Oh How He Loves You and Me." Please join us for a moment of prayer. We'll have this time ended by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Almighty, awesome Creator God, in this time we gather again in your presence because we know we dare not walk too far without continuing to go to you in counsel and in love and in wisdom and in hope. Lord, we know you can speak to us words that we don't fully grasp and understand of love and of hope. And Lord, we continue to submit our lives as individuals, our families, and our church to your will, to your guidance. Lord, that all that we would do individually and as a church would bring you glory. Lord, we thank you for this time that no matter anywhere, any time, or any place, how many words we use and if we are alone or not, that you are there, that you are always eager to hear from us, that you are always eager and concerned with what weighs on our hearts, and you always seek to whisper and breathe life everlasting into our lives. We've shared a moment before service to share those prayer requests that are on our hearts, but we know it wasn't exhaustive, Lord. Could we take just a brief moment in silence to lift up things that were unspoken before from our hearts to yours? Lord, thank you for understanding before we even formed the words, before it even came to our minds. You know what's going on in our life, and we thank you for allowing us to bring it to you, to your throne. And there it's so small, put in your hands, it's so small because we know that your hands hold this entire world. And Lord, it's because that power and that hope that we have when as disciples we desire to learn how is it that we pray. We remember your response that's inspired in scriptures. We say this prayer together. Our tradition is one body and one voice. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. This opportunity, we have another section of Matthew scriptures. We ask Erin to come up today. And as she comes up today, can we understand the calling on a young woman's life? And we can sometimes remember, I say we because it's the big we, can remember maybe when she did come in that car seat in the back row and how the family slowly started to move up to the closer rows. But understanding that we saw, do you remember the first time during a children's program or something, can you remember when there might have been some awfully big unfamiliar words from the scripture she was trying to share? Or what happens when there was a special music for the first time and maybe it wasn't always in tune, right? Do you remember that? Do you remember when she picked up the guitar for the first time and maybe there was a note that didn't quite seem like it fit in where it had to go? And do you remember when she danced when there was no words with others here in white? And do you remember when she would use a different voice represented by a puppet here? Do you remember all those things that were building blocks, that were moments that led to this, that led to I have a message to share, can I give it? Wanting to share something that was on her heart, understanding that the scripture she's about to receive or to share with us is Christ's final words and commandments and marching orders for us as the church. Erin, before we hand things over to you, can we understand and see just a glimmer of how the Lord is working when we open up opportunities for young people to learn? When they grow and mature, they take on more, and it becomes their words. See, she's not just going to college to find herself. During these years, she's finding who she is through Jesus Christ. Erin, we'll hand things over to you for the scripture and message you have prepared for us today.
So I'm going to read Matthew 28:16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So I'm going to talk about this a little bit today, but before, I'd like to just pray really quick. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this church, God. Thank you just for the ways that we can support each other, Lord, and thank you for the community that we have here. God, I pray today, as we just dive into your word, about your commands to us to go, Lord, I pray that, that everyone here, they don't see me and see the things that I've done, but God, they see you and the way that you've just worked in my life, and God, that they hear you through this, and that we can just all hear you through this, and hear what you want us to do next, and the ways that you just want us to live our lives, Lord, whether that means we need to change something or whatever. God, convict us if you see that that is for our good. Lord, thank you for your word and for its truth and for its relevance in our lives. Thank you for everything, God. We love you so much. Amen. So, like I said, you're going to go to a whole lot of Campbell today. This is the last time I'll be up here, I promise. Today I'm going to talk about the Great Commission. Earlier you heard me talk about my mission trip to Ecuador, so I figured I would just, it would be suiting to talk about the reason for missions in the first place, and who specifically should be going on missions. So to start, I'm going to read a passage by Amy Carmichael. This is called Thy Brother's Blood. I read this passage while I was in Ecuador, and not only did it change my view of the world and the people around me, but also of God's plan for my life. So just some background. Amy was a missionary from England to India. She worked to save children and women who were stuck in the sexual slave trade. She wrote this one evening as a funeral procession was passing outside her home. The tom-toms are drums that beat through the night when someone has died. The devil dancers are the local shamans who would dance to ask the gods to permit the dead to go to the afterlife. The church in England was very angry with her for her condemning tone and judgment towards them. The tom-toms thumped straight on all night, and the darkness shuddered round me like a living, feeling thing. I could not go to sleep, so I lay awake and I looked, and I saw, as it seemed, this. That I stood on a grassy patch, and at my feet a ravine broke straight down into infinite space. I looked, but saw no bottom, only cloud shapes, black and furiously coiled, in a great shadow-shrouded hollows and unfathomable depths. Back I drew, dizzy at the depth. Then I saw forms of people moving towards the edge. There was a woman with her baby in her arms and another little child holding onto her dress. She was on the very edge. She lifted her foot for the next step. Then, to my horror, I saw that she was blind. Before I could say anything, she was over and the children with her. Their cries pierced the air as they fell into the inky blackness of the ravine. Then I saw more streams of people flowing from all quarters. All were blind, stone blind. All walked straight toward the edge. There were shrieks as they suddenly knew themselves falling and a tossing up of helpless arms catching, clutching at empty air. But some went over quietly and fell without a sound. Then I wondered, with a wonder that was sheer agony, why no one stopped them at the edge. I could not. I was glued to the ground, and I couldn't even yell. Though I strained and tried, only a whisper would come out. Then I saw that along the edge there were sentries set at intervals. But the intervals were too large. There were wide, unguarded gaps between, and over these gaps the people fell in their blindness, unwarned. And the green grass seemed blood red to me, and the ravine yawned like the mouth of hell. Then I saw, like a little picture of peace, a group of people under some trees with their backs turned towards the ravine. They were making daisy chains. Sometimes when a piercing shriek cut the quiet air and reached them, it disturbed them, and they thought it was a rather crude noise. And if one of their group started up and wanted to go and to do something to help, then all the others would pull that one down. Why should you get so excited about it? You must wait for a definite call to go. You haven't finished your daisy chain yet. It would be really selfish, they said, to leave us to finish the work alone. There was another group. It was made up of people whose great desire was to get more sentries out, but they found that very few wanted to go, and sometimes there were no sentries for miles and miles along the edge. Once a girl stood alone in her place, waving the people back, but her mother and other relations called and reminding her that her furlough was due. She must not break the rules, and being tired and needing a change, she had to go and rest for a while, but no one was sent to guard her gap, and over the people fell like a waterfall of souls. Once a child grabbed at a tuft of grass that grew at the very edge of the ravine, it clung convulsively and it called, but nobody seemed to hear. Then the roots of the grass gave way, and with a cry, the child went over, its two little hands still holding tight to the torn-off bunch of grass. And the girl, who longed to be back in her gap, thought she heard the little one cry, and she sprang up and wanted to go, at which her friends reproved her, reminding her that no one is necessary anywhere. The gap would be well taken care of, they said, and then they sang a hymn. Then through the hymn came another sound like the pain of a million broken hearts wrung out in one full drop, one sob. And a horror of great darkness was upon me, for I knew that it was the cry of the blood. Then a voice thundered. It was the voice of the Lord, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The tom-toms still beat heavily. The darkness still shuddered and shivered about me. I heard the yells of the devil dancers and weird, wild shrieks of the devil-possessed just outside the gate. What does it matter after all? It has gone on for years. It will go on for years. Why make such a fuss about it? God forgive us. God arouse us. Shame us out of our callousness. Shame us out of our sin. So after reading this passage for the first time, there was a part of me that wanted to throw it away and pretend like it wasn't true. The other part of me, which was greater yet, was conviction from God. God saying that this is the reality of our world. This is the reality of our church. And you can't keep living your life of comfort, resting in my sweet promises, if you are not also willing to obey my commands. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And I'm sure we've all heard this passage before. If you haven't, I invite you to check it out. This is Jesus' final command to his followers. This is the Great Commission. And I worry so often we as Christians look at this and we read it as if it is some special calling for the Christians God chose to be missionaries. I know that's what I used to do. We take God's promises to heart, his promises of peace and rest for the weary, but his commands we dismiss. I want to challenge us all to realize that this, the Great Commission, is not a special calling. In fact, this isn't a calling at all. This is a command. Each and every one of us is commanded to go and make disciples by Jesus Christ himself. There are a lot of misconceptions with the command go. People think going means moving halfway across the world and living apart from your families for years, and it might. But that's not the only way. God commands us to live missionally every day right where we're at, and to listen to see if he is calling us to go somewhere else specifically. Because the calling isn't in the going. The going is a command. The calling is in where God wants us to go and for how long. And I know that you're all at very different stages of your life than I am. So I understand that going or living missionally might look different for you than it does for me or a 25-year-old or a 15-year-old, etc. But we're all called to go. Jesus doesn't say, "Therefore, young people, go and make disciples of all nations." Nor does he say, "Therefore, once you're done with college or after you've raised your family, go make disciples of all nations." No, Jesus simply says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth so that he can command us, his followers, to do this. Today, it's so easy to look at the world around us and to look at unreached people groups who've never heard the name of Jesus Christ, to look at third world countries where people are dying of starvation and unclean water and living in dirt shacks and ask, "How can God let this happen? Shouldn't he have a plan?" But that's just it. He does have a plan. We're his plan. Romans 10:12-15 says, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all to call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" There it is, God's plan. God loved the world so much that he sent his son to die for us. But it doesn't stop there. God, through Jesus, then commanded us, his followers, the ones who have already received our eternal salvation, to go and to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. Because face it, if God's plan didn't involve using his followers to spread the gospel, none of us would be sitting here today. If the 12 disciples had decided to keep Christ to themselves and to not obey the command to go, we wouldn't know Jesus. So who in your life hasn't heard the good news of Jesus Christ? Might it be possible that you are the one that God has sent to guard the gaps between the centuries, to stop them from blindly walking over the edge without warning? Let us not be like the Christians in Carmichael's story who sit back and make daisy chains while helpless souls fall blindly over the edge behind us. Let us not sit back and wait for a definite call to go when Jesus commanded us over 2,000 years ago. God, forgive us. God, arouse us. Shame us out of our callousness. Shame us out of our sin. Let us pray. Lord, you are so, so good to us. God, you have blessed us with an incredible church family and a small town that feels a whole lot more safe and comfortable than many, many other parts of the world right now. God, I pray that in the midst of all of our blessings, you make us aware of the urgency of your gospel. Give us your ears to hear the cries of those around us whose deepest need is your son. Give us your eyes to seek out those who you want us to go to, Lord. And give us your hearts so that we can feel the weight of your command to go and make disciples of all nations. Forgive us for forgetting about those who don't know you. Arouse us with a desire to take the gospel to our community and to other parts of the world. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you for the amazing adventure that comes with knowing and loving Jesus. We love you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for bringing that message today for us. We're blessed in its hearing. Could we ask our ushers to come forward today as we continue on in our service of worship and remembering the offering for our tithes and our gifts? Come as a response, another way that we thank God for the blessings in our life as we give back to the Lord the first fruits of our labors.
Thank you.
Lord, at your table, we submit these gifts, these tithes, these offerings to you. Lord, would you continue to use these gifts to anoint this world and this community, and Lord, to continue to inspire us to live out that command on our life. Lord, would you see these gifts to meet the needs of the church and the ministry in which you've called us, Lord? Would you be glorified in all that is here and bless the houses from which they came, that your name would go forward as we receive your blessing now. And we ask this blessing in the Son, in the name of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Could we please sing together this great song of our mission, Lord, You Have Come to the Lakeshore, number 344.
Thank you.
As we go today, would you remember the words that we've heard, both in the Holy Scriptures and from the one who brought us the message today? We are God's response to this need in this world. We will be the hands and the feet that are used for this undescribable work, to be a miracle, to be a voice of hope and an acts and service of love. We will be the standard bearers. We will be the response of the desperate prayer of this world who call out to God. Who will God send? A calling on our lives to send us, you and me, to places we know, to places we don't, to faces we may recognize, to faces we don't yet recognize. Could we go today aware of this awesome response on our lives, to know when it's too much for us alone, that we must constantly be close to the Lord in prayer. In an act of great surrender, would we lay down our dreams for the ones that God has for us through His Son, Jesus? Could we go forward in this holy mission, strengthened, encouraged by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for this work? Amen. As we prepare to sing our final song, you'd also do well to understand that Aaron will also be available for greetings and salutations on your way out. So if you have to leave, please encourage her and wish her well as we leave her for the fall. We're sad to see you go, but we anticipate the moment you come back and share with us new ways in which the Lord has worked within you. Let us sing.